of Jesus to you, how he sees you, and how you should see yourself. It's a great devotional. Yesterday was a great one that kind of goes along with a little bit about what we've been sharing lately, so I thought I would share it this morning. This was August 7th. It says, understanding will never bring you peace. That's why I've instructed you to trust in me, not in your own understanding. Human beings have a voracious appetite for trying to figure things out in order to gain a sense of mastery over their lives. But the world presents you with an endless series of problems. As soon as you master one set, another pops up to challenge you. The relief you had anticipated is short-lived. Soon your mind is gearing up again, searching for understanding, mastery, instead of seeking me, your master. The wisest of all men, Solomon, could never think his way through to peace. His vast understanding resulted in feelings of futility. Rather than in fulfillment, finally he lost his way and succumbed to the will of his wives by worshiping idols. My peace is not an elusive goal, hidden at the center of some complicated maze. Actually, you are always enveloped in my peace, which is inherent in my presence. As you look to me, you gain awareness of this precious peace. God's presence is always with us. It's just, do we see it? Do we recognize it? Now, when we come to church on Sunday morning, it's a lot easier to recognize his peace, recognize his presence. But sometimes even that doesn't break through. So if your mindset and if your heart is turned to something else today, or your week has been crazy, or your month has been crazy, or whatever in your life has been going the wrong way, focus on Jesus. Focus on him, that he's here right now. We've gathered together today to be in his presence. We're two or more gathered, he's there. But when you're there by yourself at home, he's there with you. So just realize that he's not but just a prayer away. He's not just a whisper away. So Lord, we do. We whisper your name this morning, Jesus. And we know that you're here. And Lord, we acknowledge your presence. And Lord, it says in your word, when we're in your presence, Lord, there's a fullness of joy. Lord, so we receive that joy into our hearts. We receive that peace into our lives. Lord, I pray that anyone that's listening to me, anyone that's been distracted with the cares of life or pulled down by the cares of life, Lord, that you would just bring them a freedom today, Lord, that wouldn't be just for a moment, Lord, but it would be sustainable, that they'd be able to walk in that peace. So right now, Lord, we choose you this morning. We choose to worship you. We choose to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I know that there are others who've probably had a really rough week. And Tim and I were talking this morning, and he was reading Jesus Calling. And the scripture for it this morning was Psalms 95, 1 and 2. And it's a call to worship and to obedience. And when we're having a bad week or a bad day, one of the best things you can do is sing out in worship. It brings your heart to thankfulness. It brings your heart into obedience. So the scripture goes, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." So if you're dealing with some stuff like Pastor Mike was saying, there's just things trying to keep you from worshiping and trying to keep you blocked. Set it to the side. Let God have it. Just chuck it to the wind like bread on the water and lift your arms and your heart in worship.
stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon.
We sing.
Lord. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've started doing something here on Sundays. We've been praying for the city and praying for the government every Sunday. And so I've asked Tim St. Martin to come and pray for those today. So praise the Lord. So glad to see Tim back. He's been serving our country. So
good morning. Heavenly Father, we lift up Yakima to you right now, Father. We ask that all your children get boldness, Father, to speak the good news to those that are lost. Father, we pray for those that are scared, that they would come to know you and feel your peace, Father. We pray for a revival here in Yakima that stretches out across this nation and into the world, Father. Father, we lift up all of the people in power, the governors, our presidents, all the people in power that have control, Lord. There's a spirit of stupor that we'd like to squash, Father. We pray, Father, that you show them and guide them and that they see the light, Lord, and that they start turning to you, Lord. Father, there's a council culture out there that we just pray against it. We pray, we know that you work all things for good. So we pray, Father, that, and we can't wait to see what good comes from this, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, Tim. Praise the Lord. Well, we have something that we call Between Sundays, because you know Sunday is a big day for people who go to church, but it's not the only day of the week. Did you guys know that? We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so if we just live for God on Sundays, it's a pretty empty Christian life. It's pretty dull and boring, because you know when you're living for God and you're serving Him and you're have a vibrant relationship, life isn't really boring. So we like to communicate that Between Sundays is really where the rubber meets the road. That's when you live your faith out, not on Sunday morning. It's really easy to be a Christian in church. Anybody have a problem being a Christian in church? I mean, I don't. It's easy. But on Monday nights, the youth are at Eric and Nancy's, and that's between 6:30 and 8:30. Woohoo! There you go. Yeah, whoop, whoop. That's an amazing meeting. I have never been to it, but from what I understand, it's an amazing meeting. I'm taking that by faith and by a good testimony. Amen. And then Tuesday nights, except, are you off during the summers? Okay, you're back on? Yeah, last few weeks you've been off, yeah. So this coming Tuesday, again, Gay will resume her women's meeting, and that's at 7 p.m. That's a Zoom meeting. It goes about an hour. And if you're interested in that, the phone number's up there. You can text her, and you can be included in that. She'll send out a text giving you all the information. Men's Zoom meeting is at 7 on Wednesday night. That's the same thing. Text that number. You'll be able to get information about how to connect to the Zoom meeting. We have a great time together. And then this coming Saturday night, woo, we're going to be at Herman and Marion's house, Nani's house. She's there too. So, and we are looking forward to an amazing night of worship. Last time we were at Zeke and Tara's, and it was just a great atmosphere of the Lord. I encourage everyone to come. This is not if you're just a One Life Family Worship member. If you've only come here one day, you're welcome to come. The address is up there. 108 Rosa Vista Drive. So I encourage everyone to come. It's a great time. We just worship the Lord and spend some time in fellowship. So it's really, really good. And then if any of you are apt to giving anything, you can give either in this box up here or a box in the back, or you can give online by PayPal. If you go to our One Life Family Worship .com site, you will see a link for giving or donations. Tithing, it might say on it. Go ahead and click on that, and then it will take you to the PayPal site. So with no further ado, Pastor Eric's going to share today, and I'm really looking forward to it. So praise the Lord.
Check. Yeah, the worship nights, like, I'm inviting everybody. So just so you know. Everybody's invited. If you have a family member or a friend, and they are, I really feel like the worship nights can be a an on-ramp to somebody really encountering Jesus, because you probably, some of you probably know people that they'll never step foot in the church building, and that's okay, because they have you and you're the church. And we have things like this, a worship night that is a little bit less intimidating to say, hey, just come hang out in somebody's backyard and we're gonna sing some songs and it's going to be really good. Amen. So I want to talk today about fruit that lasts. I believe that God is, I don't just believe it, it's biblical truth that God actually calls each and every one of us to bear fruit and bear fruit that lasts. Amen. So, that being said, as I was processing this message, I had this epiphany, if you will, about fruit and about how we all are going to bear fruit. And it's going to be good fruit, and some of it's going to be bad fruit. But regardless, there's fruit that's going to be bore. And so, you know, I have kids, and we obviously have no problem bearing fruit. And some like, stay away from me. No, but with that as well, like our little one, Leona, our 4-year-old, amazing child. She is a blessing to the both of us, is what we always say. This child is a blessing for both of us. I always tell Nancy. And something that I've had to learn through being a parent to this specific child is that she's going to challenge me and she's going to build me up as a leader. Okay. And my youth students know this well because she's a part of our Monday nights, and she can care less that people are there. She's like, this is my house. I'm going to do what I want. Right. It doesn't even matter if it's at her house. We could be at anybody's house. And she'd be like, this is my house too. So, something recently that happened, I was teaching her about patience, and I told her, I was like, Lay, she was trying to get our attention. I'm like, Lay, be patient. Okay. Do you know what patience means? And she's like, no. I was like, patience, you know, trying to explain it. It's really simple. It just means you got to learn to wait. Okay. Got to be calm. Just learn to wait. Okay. She's like, okay. And not even like 5 minutes later, I'm giving her direction to do something. I'm like, Layana, please go do that thing. And she's like, Dad, be patient. Right? Like I reaped the benefit of what I just labored, right? And days later, again, we're getting ready to leave, right? And this is for those of you who have kids, like getting their shoes on, right? It's like, get your shoes on. Like, where are you? Where are you? She's a hippie, always in just bare feet. Even right now, shoes are right there, not on her feet. Okay. Where are your shoes? Get your shoes on. And she walks down the hall. She's like, Dad, I'm getting them. Be patient. Right? Just like, so this is the fruit of my labor, right? And so whether we know it or not, there's fruit being born in our life, you know, and the question that I want you to leave with today is the fruit that I'm bearing in my life good fruit or bad fruit? What is the actual fruit that I'm bearing in my life? In John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Notice that it's not just fruit, but he wants us to bear fruit that will last. Fruit that is of sustenance. Fruit that's actually going to bring life to your life. Fruit that's going to bring life to those around you, to your family's life, to your marriage, to your children, to your coworkers. And I really want us to let that sink in, is that I'm, no matter what I do, because I'm breathing air and because I exist on this planet, I'm going to bear fruit. And if you are a believing believer, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're actually mandated to bear fruit that will last. Like, this isn't an option. It's not like, okay, great, I get to do the church thing and, you know, and have fun and go to worship nights and whatever. But no, you actually need to be bearing fruit. So what is the fruit that you're bearing? So the thing that I had to come to last night as I was kind of dialing in my notes, as somebody who speaks and people, you know, if you've ever created a message, you would know this. And I know Pastor Mike has his different ways of doing it. And sometimes it's like this thought in my mind where I'm just like, this is the message I'm preaching. And I have this message and it's easy to come to. And sometimes it's somebody's like, this is a topic I need you to speak on. And sometimes like this one, I woke up yesterday morning and this was the actual thought in my mind. Like I woke up and as soon as I opened my eyes, the thought came to my mind, bear fruit that will last. And that's how I knew. Okay, great. And so although this is a message that I want to speak to our body, this is a message for me as well. And I'm having to take an assessment of my life, which I'm going to encourage everybody here to do as well, is take an assessment of your life to say, what is the fruit in my life? Like, what is actually manifesting in my life as fruit? And is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? Right? Is it, there's nothing worse when it comes to eating fruit. I love fruit. Nothing worse when you go in the fridge and get strawberries and they're moldy, right? Or like you go like all that, those apples, I've been meaning to eat those apples and you go get it and it looks good, but you bite into it and it's mushy, right? Like, or a banana like that you get and I love bananas. Jesse, bananas? Yep. Jesse has stocks in bananas. And it gets that brown, you know, and it's like, there's nothing worse than bad fruit. The same applies to our life. And we all know, even as I'm talking, you are probably thinking about the fruit in your life and things that you can do without, the things that are actually bearing good fruit and bearing bad fruit. Because there's young children here, I'm going to speak a little bit in code, but you guys will understand. From the time I was 13, so I was sixth grader. So I guess I was more like 12. From the time I was 12 to the time I was 21, I struggled with looking at stuff online. You guys are tracking with me. And I wouldn't say it was, I bring this up for a couple reasons. One, because I believe it gives a good example of what bad fruit looks like in your life. Two, because I believe the church doesn't talk about it enough. And it might even be people in this room that are struggling with this and know that you're not alone and know that God calls you to a higher standard than that and that there isn't shame in the kingdom. He actually wants to bring you closer to him and say, hey, I can get you through this and walk with you in this if you bring me into it. Okay? But from 13 or 12 till I was 21, okay, I'm already married to a beautiful woman as well. Like, there's no reason, right? There's no reason. And what actually became my aha moment, okay, it wasn't, because I was already in church, I was already saved, I've given my life to Jesus, right? I'm starting to serve in youth ministry, I'm going to encounters and having these amazing moments. The aha moment was for me, and I probably didn't put it in these words, but it was this. What type of fruit is this actually bearing in my life? And I came before my wife and I confessed to my wife and we walked through this process. And it was at that point, and I'm happy to say, and I'm proud to say, for almost 16 years now, not even been a thought in my mind, not even been a temptation. I'm able to walk in the breakthrough for my son who's growing up, for my sons that are growing up in this, right? For my daughters that are growing up, because I know it's not just men that struggle with stuff like this, but be able to step in that breakthrough, and then my breakthrough becomes their breakthrough, and then my breakthrough becomes those around me's breakthrough. My breakthrough becomes my youth students' breakthrough, right? And I'm able to say, hey, I went through this breakthrough. This is the fruit from me stepping away from that, because while I was in that, the fruit that it was bearing was not good fruit. And it was bearing fruit. But it wasn't good fruit. So again, we have to take an assessment of our lives and say, okay, what in my life is bearing fruit? That's bearing fruit. Awesome. Now let me actually check if it's good fruit. Let me actually pick an apple from that tree and see if that apple is actually a good red delicious or if it's a mushy apple, right? So let's take an assessment of our life. There's a story in Daniel. And you'll know this story. They talk about it in in children's ministry and all over church, but it's about Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den. And essentially, let me just tell you the backstory before we get to this, is that, you know, Daniel was a man of much favor, and Daniel was going to get promoted by the king, and there are people that were jealous of Daniel. So they actually convinced the king to, hey, let's make something that let's make a decree that anybody who prays to anything but you or worships anything but you, king, they get punished, knowing that Daniel was a praying man, knowing that Daniel had a praying life. And let me tell you, before we get to this Daniel, in Daniel 1, we meet a Daniel that's a young man that has a praying life, that has a standard in his life, a practice in his life, a life cultivated in prayer, that we then get to meet Daniel in Daniel 6, where they say, hey, this is now the law. You can't pray to any other gods or pray to anything else. And we'll just read this in Daniel 6. This is when Daniel finds out that this is now the decree. This is Daniel 10 or 6:10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He didn't change anything. What works in my life, what bears fruit in my life is prayer. They say I can't pray to anything, to anybody, and I can't pray to God, otherwise I'm going to get punished. I'm going to pray because that bears fruit. And what happens? They catch him, they throw him in the lion's den. And can I tell you today that lions, we were just talking about this as a family, the fact that on this planet there's things like bears and lions and sharks and alligators and like beasts, right? Beasts on this planet where their brain, the thing that separates us from the animal kingdom, is their brain not having this little thing called logic. All they think is, I want to eat. There's a thing moving or maybe threatening my life. I'm going to eat it, right? So it wasn't that all of a sudden these lions weren't just magically hungry anymore. It wasn't that these lions were vegan or these lions were vegetarian or they're like, what kind of food has Daniel actually been consuming? Is that going to upset my stomach? Should I not consume this man? I might be gluten intolerant. He might have had, right? Right? Like what kind of diet? No. It wasn't that all of a sudden the lions were like, we're not hungry anymore. You know what stopped the lions from eating Daniel? Was God. Praying to God bore the fruit of Daniel not getting consumed by the lions. That was the fruit. He was able to say, okay, I'm going to pick from this tree of prayer, and consume this fruit. And the fruit is that I'm going to live this night with these lions, however many lions they were. It doesn't matter. One lion is enough for me, okay? But many lions and not get eaten. This is what I'm talking about in regards to assessing our life and what is the fruit that we're bearing in our lives. Daniel didn't alter what bore fruit in his life, just as he had done before. He said, this works, this bears fruit, I'm going to keep doing this thing. Even though they told me I can't do this thing, this is actually the one thing I'm not going to get away from, because this bears fruit. So the first point I have is Jesus in our life bears fruit. And it sounds super simple, because it is. Jesus equals bearing fruit. When I allow Jesus to come in my life, I then allow myself to be rooted in something that's going to bear fruit. Let's read this in John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you attach yourself to Jesus and you give your yes to Jesus, you then, again, are rooted in a soil that will bear fruit. It doesn't mean that life's not going to get hard. It doesn't mean that winds aren't going to come at you and that other trials of life aren't going to come at you. That's not the message I'm preaching at all, okay? Because you and I both know that life gets hard. You and I both know that just because I said yes to Jesus doesn't mean life doesn't throw stuff at me, right? But what it does mean is now I'm anchored in something. My soil, my roots go down deep into a good soil that's going to bear fruit. And they are. So when wind comes at me, when wind blows me to and fro, I'm anchored so deep in Jesus. My roots are so low that I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to break. Because I'm actually linked to him. He's my source. You guys ever notice that when stuff happens and you're not giving it to Jesus and you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to, get the solutions done yourself, it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. And I'm a man of, I want to see the outcome of stuff. I want to see like productivity. Okay, let's go. Let's get stuff done. Let's make it move. What do we got to do? How are we going to make this happen? Right? Jesus is so funny because he doesn't always operate that way with me. He's like, yeah, I understand you want to see productivity, but I need you just to wait in this for a little bit. Right? I need you to be okay with the wind blowing right now. Because you could try to figure it out, but you're going to be really struggling because your root system is going to be uprooted from me and into something else that might be successful, but probably is not going to be successful. Because the only way to actually find it, what you're truly looking for, is to stay rooted in me. That's the only way you're going to bear fruit. I love what it says in the Passion Translation. I have that one right. Yeah. In John 15:5, it says, I am the sprouting vine and you are my branch. You're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. You are powerless. I don't know about you guys, but if somebody was giving me this deal, say, hey, actually, when you're rooted in this thing, you're going to fruitfulness will stream from within you. But if you go over here separated, you're going to be powerless. I'm taking the fruitfulness, right? Because you might be fruitful. You might actually have fruit coming from your life without Jesus. But it's just a might. It's just a maybe. With Jesus, you're guaranteed fruit. And it's not always going to come out how you want it to. It's not always going to look how you want it to. But with Jesus, you're guaranteed that good fruit is going to be produced from your life. Okay, the second point is Jesus is a professional pruner. Now, in my research in this message, and by research I mean a 7-minute YouTube video, I found out some details about pruning. Now, forgive me for those who know what they're doing, okay? Like Herman, okay? Forgive me, okay? Take this message and maybe not apply it to taking care of your plants because you might kill them. But instead apply it to your life because it works there. I know it works there. I'm not sure. But then in this video, this guy that was really passionate. I mean, it was like 1.3 million views on this video. I'm like, my God. It was insane. But anyways, he was very passionate about plants. Like, it was insane. Okay. In this video, he said three things. The first three things he said he looks for, which I thought were just so applicable to our lives, is this. And when he's looking to prune something, he says he looks for the three D's. He looks for what's dead. He looks for what's dying. He looks for what's diseased. And I thought, wow, what if I looked at my life, looked at the fruit in my life for what's dead, for what's dying, and for what's diseased? What if I took an assessment of my life and said, okay, is that producing fruit or is that dead? Because here's why. When it comes to a plant, why you want to prune is because that plant is actually giving energy towards things that is not going to produce fruit. So you'd rather prune that so it can give its energy toward actually producing fruit. In my life, I don't want to be giving energy to things that are dead or that are dying or that are diseased. This could be things that I'm putting into my mind, things that I'm listening to. This could be relationships. Okay, these are things that when I look at taking assessment of my life, okay, is this relationship producing fruit in my life? Is it produced it or is this thing diseased in my life? Because I don't know about you, I don't want anything diseased in my life. Because I'm going to be putting energy towards that thing that's not going to ever produce fruit. That's not ever going to produce good fruit, at least. So Jesus is not afraid to call stuff out in your life. Jesus is not afraid to put standards on the fruit that you bear. Because when you give Jesus permission, he will highlight to you what is bearing fruit and what is not. When you bring Jesus in and you say, you get quiet before the Lord and you say, Jesus, I need you to highlight in my life what is bearing fruit and what is not. Or I need you to highlight in my life the good fruit in my life and the bad fruit in my life. It's a scary process because some of the things in our life, we might think, oh no, that's fine. That thing, that's fine. That's not doing anything. That's not harming anybody. It's not harming me. It's fine. And Jesus is like, no. But down the road, this thing actually is going to bear bad fruit in your life. Or this thing in your life is actually dying. And this is actually not going to be good for your marriage. Or this thing isn't going to be good for your kids down the road or the generations to come. Right? And so, there's a story in Mark, and this is when Jesus curses the fig tree. So prior to this, Jesus sees a fig tree, and he says it has some leaves on it, but it's not producing fruit in that season, and so he curses it. And then Jesus goes into the temple, and there are things happening in the temple he's not happy with, and this is where he flips over tables and stuff, which I think is hilarious because when people say, what would Jesus do? Say, okay, well, let's not negate the fact that flipping over tables and whipping people is not an option. Because what would Jesus do? Well, this is what he did. Okay? But he comes out, and the next day, they come across this fig tree that Jesus cursed. And this is what it says in Mark 11. It says, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And I read that last night because this has always been a mystery to me. Like, was Jesus just in a bad mood? And he's like, I'm hungry. That fig tree should have fruit. Curse you. And it dies. Right? Because then he goes into the temple and he's flipping tables. Like, I don't know. He's just hangry. I don't know. But then he comes out and the next day he tells Peter, acknowledges the fig tree. And when I read what Jesus told them, I thought, oh, this is just my interpretation. So just track with me. He's telling them this. This is a type of fruit I want you to experience in your life. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done to them. This is the fruit that Jesus is saying, this is what I want to see produced in your life, is that you have so much faith that when you look at a mountain and tell it to go into the sea, it goes. This is the fruit that I want to see happen in your life. So forget about the fig tree, because the fig tree didn't produce fruit. I call you to produce fruit, fruit that will last. And this is the fruit that I want you to produce. I want you to produce so much that whatever you ask in prayer, you believe it, that you've received it. I want you to ask prayer. I want you to have so much prayer that when you come to me, when you come to the Father, you actually come with a heart that is believing that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, and that I'm not just some guy up in the sky that you tie your little prayer note to and let the balloon go and hopefully it gets to you. But actually, I'm a God that answers prayer. This is the fruit that I want you to have in your life. So then I ask the question again, church. What is the fruit that you're bearing? And again, I'm sure through this morning, there have been thoughts in your mind. What fruit is in my life? This thing. I mean, there have been shows. I don't consume Christian media. Can I just confess that? There's like a few things that I watch. But really, I just stay away from it because of my religious beliefs. No, because it just, I just don't enjoy it very much. I say that to say this, that I have shows that I've watched in the past where are secular shows, if you will. And some of them, you know, in our house, we have a Jesus filter is how we perceive things. We look, okay, what is Holy Spirit saying about this? Okay, what can I take from this? What is sticking with me? What do I got to throw away? But there have been things that I've had to say, actually, this is not going to produce any fruit in my life. Like it, there's some reality TV out there that's just trash. It's just garbage. Amen. Right. There's things, right? Like, And believe you me, we have our share of trash shows that we watch, okay? So don't think the Lopez home is all pure TV, pure flicks and this and that, because it's not. But my point in that is that there's been times where Holy Spirit has said, this thing right here, actually though, even though it's entertaining, is not producing fruit. Or the fruit that it's bearing is not actually fruit that you want in your family's life. So let's actually step away from that. But I only get that when I allow Holy Spirit to come into my life. I only get that part when I say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're invited into this process. When I turn on the TV or when I turn on a movie, I invite you to convict me. I invite you to come into me in this process. When I listen to music, I invite you to come along with me in this process, right? When I consume content, I invite you in. Because I want what I ultimately want in my life and my family is fruit that will last. We're going to produce fruit no matter what, but we want to produce good fruit that will last. Amen. So I'm going to invite the worship team up, and this is what I ask you, church. Again, many of you have probably been thinking about fruit in your life. And so what I'm going to ask this morning is that you take an assessment. This last song we're going to worship. And if you have been holding on to something, or you feel like you can't break through something, and you're like, I know this thing in my life is dying or is dead or is diseased. I know this thing in my life is not producing good fruit, but I, for whatever reason, can't let it go. And no matter what, when I come to the tree with my shears to prune it, there's something in me that just can't cut it off. I just want to invite you, church, if that's you, I want you to come up and we're going to pray with you. And you could be as invulnerable or not as you want. That's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. But in this house, we believe that when you come into community with your brothers and sisters and you allow people in your life like I did and say, hey, I need help in this, that's powerful. Well, two or more gather, right? Where two or more gather. There's a lot more than two people in here. Okay? So let's worship. If you need prayer, I encourage you to come up and get prayer. And we're going to be up here and we're going to surround you and we're going to love on you. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for your presence. God, I just pray for every person here, Lord, that we would be submitted to you, God. Lord, the fruit that we bear would be of good fruit, that would be of lasting fruit. Yeah, and I just pray for the hearts, Lord, of everyone that could hear my voice, whether they be in the room, or whether they be watching online or listening some other time, that they would take an assessment of their life, God. They would bring you into their life and allow you to speak clearly to them about the fruit in their life. We thank you, Jesus. We pray for every heart in this place, every mind in this place, every physical body in this place. And just thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Love you guys. Have a good Sunday. See you guys next week.